with you and that we play. But 1 Timothy chapter 4. Tonight I want to be a little bit, this morning, it was a pretty strong message. It was pretty clear instruction for us as believers. And tonight I want to just look here in 1 Timothy at this portion of the letter that Paul writes to Timothy. And I guess I just want to be a little bit of an encouragement. I want to give you perhaps some steps to take. You know, it's easy as we come into the new year and we watch the media, it's easy to get caught in the vortex, in the whirlpool of mainstream media, in the sort of this massive thing that draws us in, right? I had a quick look at my news feed just before coming up here, and up the top, Victoria's on fire. Homes destroyed, people's lives completely changed, and it doesn't look like there's going to be any sort of coming out of that fire season for them for quite some time. The very next story after that, cyclone up north, flooding, again, homes destroyed, people's lives changed for a long time. As you keep going down that, we can think of the Bondi event that happened, terrorist attack that happened just weeks ago, and yet it's still so fresh in our minds. We think of Venezuela right now and the turmoil that's happening there, the change that's occurring there. Look at America right now, Minnesota, tens of thousands of people are marching in the streets across America right now because of what the government is doing there. And it's easy for us to get caught up in that sort of that vacuum and be concerned and begin to wonder about, hey, how do I exist now? How do I continue to walk now? How do I be an encouragement to other believers? How do I do this? How do I live in this space right now, when it looks like so much is going wrong? You know, as we look at this letter here that Paul writes to Timothy, at this point in history, things are pretty dire for Christians. Rome has burned, and Nero is on a rampage to destroy as much of Christianity as he can. Right, he's pointing the finger at Christians and going, it's their fault that all this happened. And in and amongst that, in and amongst all this persecution for believers, in amongst all of this turmoil that's happening for those men and women at that point in time, this young preacher, Timothy, is trying to set up a church and is trying to minister to people and is trying to spread the gospel. And he looks out and he sees all of this stuff happening, and he needs to encourage the people within his church. He needs to speak to their hearts. And Paul talks to Timothy, and in a few verses, he gently gives him some instructions. And tonight, this is nothing earth-shaking, right? Tonight, as we look at this, there's some clear things for us that we can apply to our lives. There's some clear things here that as we look at a world that's in turmoil and as we look at a country that is sliding further and further and further away from the godly standards that we should be adhering to, we need to be encouraged in the same thing. And while Timothy is a young preacher, and when you look at the context of things, right, we say young, we think of Timothy as this 18-year-old guy stepping into the pulpit. Young preacher, a young teacher in those days was anyone under the age of 40, right? How many people here are young? All right, that's pretty much it. Andrew, you just missed that boat. Sorry, buddy. Right, I still feel young, okay? Andrew, not so much, but... Right, so Paul writes to young Timothy and gives him some gentle instructions. Hey, here's some things that you can do to be an encouragement, not just for the people, but for yourselves also. Have a look at the bottom there, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. We're going to read the passage in a minute, but I want you to see this. Paul gives these instructions, this list, if you would. And then in verse 16 of chapter 4, he says, "For in doing this, thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee." Hey, in teaching these things, in living out these things, it's going to have an impact in your life as a believer, and it's going to have an impact in the life of the believers that you're dealing with. So tonight, as we look at this, let's go ahead and just read through these verses. First of all, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let's start in verse 6. This is where Paul starts to give this instruction. Verse 6. "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profit may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing these things thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, again we come before you. Father, it's easy to get caught up in everything that's happening around the world. It's easy to get caught up in the commercialization. It's easy to get caught up in the fear of rising housing prices and rising fuel costs and rising living costs in general. And Father, it's easy to look at politics and to get caught up in all of those things and the weather and all of those things. And Father, it's easy for our hearts to start to wonder and to worry, for us to be focused on those things when we should be focused on more profitable things. So Father, as we look tonight at these things that Paul instructs Timothy here, I pray that you would encourage us. Father, that you would help us to understand what you say here clearly, and Father, then to apply it to our lives. Father, we love you. You deserve all the glory and all the honor. In your name, amen. So let's just walk through these here. He begins in chapter 4 there with some warnings. And then we get into this gentle but firm instructions from Paul on how to move forward. Timothy was in ministry, and maybe you're not. A lot of you here are leaders, though. As I look around here, a lot of you are leaders either in a ministry or you're leaders within your home, or very soon you will be. And so this applies to us as well, right? It's not just to a young preacher. This applies to us as believers. So let's look at the first one there. He says in verse 6, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ." Here's the first one I want you to take home tonight. If we're going to continue to encourage each other, the first thing that we need to be doing is we need to be teachers of the Word of God. We need to be teachers of the Word of God. That means that in your space, in the people in whose lives you have influence, the thing that you should be influencing the most in comes from the Word of God. We should be teachers of the Word of God. If your parents here, you should be teaching the Word of God in your home. If your kids here, you should be looking at your brothers and sisters and going, how can I take what little I know of God's Word and how can I help my brother or sister? If you're a leader here, a ministry leader here, teaching God's Word should be foremost on your mind all the time. We need to be teachers of the Word of God, not just hearers, right? I think often we like to slip into that complacent mode of I go to church on Sunday, I do the morning service and I do the evening service and I come to church, I sacrifice of my time. I come to church on Wednesday. Not everybody does that, but I come to church on Wednesday and I listen and I hear and I spend time reading my Bible and we become hearers, but not often do we want to take that and turn it and go, hey, God expects me to now teach someone else this. That puts the onus on us to make sure that we're being diligent, doesn't it? Yeah? That's an uncomfortable place to be sometimes. We like to just sit back. We want to be just fed. But we also need to be doing the feeding. Let's keep walking through. I've got 8 points here out of these verses. So verse 6, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. And then look at the next part. If we're going to be teachers of the Word of God, we need to be doing something else. The next point is be nourished by the Word of God. He says there, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast obtained. Verse 7, but refuse profane and old wives' tales, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Right? How am I going to refuse profane and old wives' tales? How am I going to refuse things that are wrong? In the first part of chapter 4, he warns this young preacher about false teachers coming in. How do I get to the point of understanding that what somebody else is saying, what somebody else is teaching, what somebody else is spruiking is wrong if I'm not being nourished by the Word of God? Right? We need to be teachers, and to keep being teachers, we need to keep growing in knowledge. We need to continually be nourished by the Word of God. We can't just rest on our laurels and hope that somehow God's going to give us some sort of a special, hey, Andrew, you're preaching, what is it, next? It's Wednesday week, right? Don't worry about studying. Don't worry about putting any time into it. Hey, you've listened to heaps. You should be able to just come up with something off the top of your head, right? Right? That's what Andrew normally does anyway, but, right? But that's not how it works. We need to be nourished. We need to be fed, but we also need to be feeding. Let's keep looking at those verses there. But refuse profane and old wives' tales, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Hey, how many people here like going to the gym? Greg, put your hand up, right? How many people like going to the gym? Hey, there's nothing wrong with going to the gym. But notice the word he says there, exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Godliness takes exercise. What do I mean by godliness, right? Being more Christ-like, being more the person that God wants me to be, having characteristics of someone that God's working in my life, that takes exercise. It's not a sit on the couch sort of a moment. It's not even a just come and sit in church sort of moment. This is a day by day, I'm committed to growing in the characteristics that I should have as a believer. I'm exercising in that. He keeps going here, but exercise thyself, but godliness is profitable unto all. And I've lost myself here. and exercise thyself rather unto godliness, for bodily exercise profiteth little. All of a sudden the gym donkeys went, right? For bodily exercise profiteth little. Greg's saying, yeah, but look at me, it didn't profit little, right? But for, right, get out, Greg, I'll leave you alone now, right? For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. Hey, you can look at someone who spends a lot of time in the gym and you can see what happens to their body, right? They become physically fit, they become muscular, and maybe even they live longer, I don't know. And if that's what happens when they commit to that, how much more happens to us when we commit to spending time in God's Word? That might change your physical physique. This changes every aspect of your life. As I exercise myself, and it's not saying don't go to the gym, right? Some of us need to go to the gym more, right? If I'm going to live out God's purpose for my life, I also need to have a look at myself and go, man alive, I can't even get off the house to do, off the couch to do God's purpose in my life. Maybe I need to go to the gym, right? If I'm going to live out God's purpose for my life, I need to exercise myself rather unto godliness. There's a commitment in that. There's time in that. There's patience in that. There's endurance in that. There's repetition in that. I get up early in the morning and it's hard and I don't like doing it, but I'm going to sit down and I'm going to study God's Word. And I'm going to do it tomorrow. And I'm going to do it the next day. Why? Because I need to be nourished. I need to be fed. Because I know that I'm going to leave my house in the morning and I'm going to go somewhere else and there's going to be people there that need God's Word. I need to be fed so that I can feed. How can it be an encouragement to those people in our church, people in our neighborhood, people in our family that are struggling with what's happening around us? How can I be an encouragement to them if I'm not spending time in God's Word? Paul says to Timothy, be a teacher of the Word of God. He says, be nourished by the Word of God. Down to verse 12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer. Hey, we need to be examples. We need to be examples. Often, we're happy to be examples in places that we're comfortable in. But I'm happy to be an example at church around people that know that I fill a role here. I've got to live that life here, right? But when I'm outside of church, do I think of myself as a believer, as a child of God out there? When I'm at the sports field, when I'm at the gym, when I'm at Chermside, I hate going to Chermside, but when I'm at Chermside, when I'm at the beach, when I'm camping, am I an example to others in every space or just the space that I'm comfortable in? Because sometimes being an example is uncomfortable. Sometimes being an example means I've got to be vastly different to everybody that's around me. Where are the spaces that you're an example? Where are the spaces right now that perhaps you need to be an example, but maybe there's a little bit of fear there. Maybe there's a little bit of doubt. Maybe there's a little bit of, but if I do that, God, what are people going to think? God, if I do that, what are people going to say? God, if I do that, what if they push me aside? God, it's probably better if I just stay silent. God, it's probably easier if I just look a little bit like them. I won't do what they do. But God, it's a bit too hard for me to live differently to them. God calls us to be examples. The Bible says that we're ambassadors, right? What's an ambassador do? An ambassador represents a country in another country, right? We don't have an Australian ambassador in Australia representing Australia. Why not? Because we all know what Australia is, right? But you go overseas and there's an Australian ambassador there. Why? That person represents the interests of Australia in that country. He has to be the best example of Australia that that country has. And I'm not talking about Kevin Rudd in America, all right? We want a good example, right? This isn't political. Don't get political on me, right? We want a good example representing our country overseas. You are an ambassador. You are an example for God in the community that God placed you in. And sometimes that's uncomfortable. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation. So that's my lifestyle, that's how I live. So the way I speak, the way I live in charity, the way that I treat other people in spirit, it's more than fake. This goes to my very core in faith, in purity. So how do I do that? Well, look at the next one. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. For me to be an example, I have to be a student. To be an example, I've got to be a student. Look who he says, give attendance. Pay attention. Set your focus on. Be deliberate in. Give attendance to reading. How many people here? Everybody I talk to says, oh, I don't like reading. Right? How many people here don't like reading? Nobody's going to put their hand up, right? There's a couple, right? Can I tell you, reading will change your life, right? I grew up, I was very bad at school. I struggled every single day of school. I wanted them to kick me out so bad. I was like Shada, right? Mrs. Blake wanted to kick him out so bad. No, right? I struggled. I got all the way through grade 12. I hated reading. I didn't like reading. I hated reading. I went into my military career, probably got into the military because I couldn't read, right? They don't want you to read when you get in there, right? But I got into my military career. I went all through a number of years. And then in 2007, 8, we moved to Good Shepherd. 1, 2, maybe 3 weeks after getting here, Pastor Lloyd said to me, hey, would you do the scripture reading this morning? I went, whoa, no. Nope, not me, I don't read. And I certainly don't read in public, right? And he said, okay, I'll let you off this time, but I want you to do next week. And I came to church and I was terrified. And I said, just give me the verse a long time ahead of time so I can read it and learn to read it and understand all those words. And please pick verses that don't have funky names from the Old Testament. And just give me something really simple, right? Like Jesus wept. That one I can do, right? And week after week, over a period of time, he would give me the scripture reading. And after a little while, I went, hey, I'm gonna beat this. Sarah, we're going to church right on the bell. When Andrew goes out there and rings the bell that nobody hears, you know what I'm talking about? We're going to get there right as Andrew's reading the bell because Paul Haycock or somebody else would have already picked who's doing the scripture reading, and I'm going to get away scot-free. So what Pastor Lloyd did is he just gave the verse on a piece of paper to a couple different people and said, when Phil gets here, give him this and tell him he's reading. I learned to read. Right? I learned to like reading because I spent more time reading my Bible and because I wanted to grow and to learn more about what's in here. Now I love reading. This year, one of my goals is to read. I've got a whole, you go into my office there. There's a whole stack of probably 20, 30 books, probably similar to Pastor's stack in the corner too. And my goal is to read through those books. Why? Not for just because I want to read the books, but because I want it to change me. Right? We need to be students of God's word. We need to be continually desiring to get into God's word and allow it to impact our heart. We need to spend time in this, in our Bible, but we also need to be looking, hey, what other things? Go to Jewel, right? Jewel will give you all kinds of crazy things to read. Some of them will be good, right? No, I'm only kidding. If you're lucky, you'll get a CD with it, right? But seriously, come and talk to those of us that are here. We can tell you what books are good to read. The excuse of, I'm just not sure which author to pick up. Hey, that's a foolish excuse. Come and talk to us. We'll tell you, hey, this is a book that's really encouraging for this space or for this space or for that space, right? We need to be students of God's word. And we need to be finding people that are going to help us, and whether that's reading other books, help us. Hey, how do I grow in this? How do I become a better leader for Jesus? How do I grow as a man and be a better leader in my home? How do I lead a prayer group? How do I, whatever it is, right? We need to be students of God's word. We need to be students of living that life. To be an example, we need to be a student. And Paul says, till I come, give attendance, pay particular attention. To reading, to exhortation, right? Reading, we understand. Exhortation, I need to let people speak into my life, right? I don't like that. I don't like sitting down with someone and say, hey, Andrew, can you just pull apart my sermon and just tell me what I could have done better? I don't like that. Hey, Andrew, can you help me in this area of my life? I'm perhaps struggling here a little bit. But we need to be students. We need to be reading, but we also need to let other people speak into our lives. Invite people to speak into our lives so that we continue to grow. What's the last one he says there? Doctrine. The things that pertain to how we live and what we believe as Christians. If I'm not paying attention to those things, to those core truths that we understand perhaps or we hear about perhaps in church, if I'm not being a student and studying to understand those things, when somebody does come up to me and go, hey, Phil, can you talk to me a little bit about eternal security? And I'm like, ooh, starts with an E. Right? We need to be studying. We need to be students of God's word. We need to allow people to speak into our lives. And if we don't understand it, if you don't understand eternal security, go and talk to someone who does, because somebody else needs you to help them. Be ready for that. I want to be examples to do that. We need to be students. Let's keep going. Verse 14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. Be a part. Get involved. Right? Don't neglect the gift that God has given you. I can't sing. I definitely can't sing. Right? I can't play music. I can't preach. I'm too scared to lead a life groups class, so there's not much else left for me. Hey, God has given you a gift. There is something that God has given you, an ability that God has given you that is meant not for you, but for us. Get involved. Invest. be part of what God is doing. Be part of what we as a church are doing. If we're going to be an encouragement to each other in this season, we need to be invested in each other. Not just sliding in and out and hoping that everybody else is going to look after it. We need to invest individually. We need to get involved individually. There's no bench warmers in church. What do I mean by bench warmers? Right? Who's played sport here? There's a few of you, right? How many of you have played sport, but you sat on the reserve bench and you didn't have to put your hand up? That was a rhetorical question, but thanks anyway. Right. Hey, you need to get him on the team, all right? Right. No, and you sat on the bench the entire time and you never got into a game. You went the whole season, and the next season you came back and you sat on the bench and you didn't get into the game. Guess what? You're not meant to be that in church. As a believer, you are not meant to be a bench warmer. There's no reserves in Christianity. You are on the team. You are a player. You're part of this. Get involved. Invest. Use the gifts that God has given you to edify us and to glorify Him. I said this was going to be simple. Verse 14, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Obviously, he's a preacher. That's his gift. Now look at the next one. And this is part of that one. Meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Thy profiting. Right, as you commit to these things, as you continue to exercise the gift that God's given you, as you continue to grow as a student, as you continue to spend time in God's Word, what does He say there? Their profiting may appear to all. Everybody else is going to see that. And everybody else gets to grow from it. Be wholehearted. We talked about that this morning. Be wholehearted in the purpose that God's given you. Be wholehearted in the gift that God's given you. Be wholehearted in being part of this church. Be wholehearted in studying God's Word, being a student of God's Word. Be wholehearted in what you do for God. It's not just for you. It's for all of us. You know, one of the hardest jobs I've ever had, I spent however many years in the military, 13, 14 years in the military, my soldiers did what I told them to do, right? They have to. Otherwise, I get to charge them, send them to jail, make them do push-ups, whatever it is, right? They do. You go to business, right? I'm in business. I spend 11 years in business as a senior executive. People do what you tell them to do. If they don't, they don't get paid. The hardest job I've ever had is working in a church with a bunch of volunteers. Right? And I'm not talking about you guys necessarily. You guys are great, right? But working with volunteers is hard. Because if I'm volunteering, what happens is I bring my own thoughts, my own dreams, and my own, hey, this is what it should look like. I bring that to the picture and I go, this is what I dreamed, use me. Right? Oh. Yeah, but Phil, you know, God wants to use your gifts, but He wants you to lay them on the altar. He doesn't want you to bring them with conditions, right? I'll stop there on that one. Might get a little bit too personal, Andrew, right? Be wholehearted. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Look at number 7. Take heed unto thyself and unto doctrine. Be diligent to monitor yourself. Hey, it's easy to get into motion and things start rolling and you start building some momentum and things just start happening and you start to lose a little bit of focus, a little bit of sight on where you are and what you should be focusing on for yourself. Be diligent to monitor yourself. be humble before God. God, where am I at? What do I need to work on in me? I can be a student and study God's word, sadly, without relying on the Holy Spirit. Right? And it happens. It's easy to sit in that office there and have all those commentaries and Bibles and different things. Bibles, they're all KJV, right? It's easy to have all of those books and that material there and to be a student of God's word, but to not allow God's word to impact me here. It's easy to slip into that. Be diligent to know where your own heart's at. And that takes humility between me and God, and it takes humility between me and you. I want you to speak into my heart. I want you to be able to go, hey, Phil, I understand what you're saying, but I need you to pull me up on something. I had a chat with Pete. Pete's a good friend of mine. Pete will always be honest with me. I had a good chat with Pete a couple weeks ago, and he doesn't even know this. He's looking at me like, right? I was talking about an event that had happened in my life, in my family's life, and it was a hard event, a serious event, and I'd taken a quite strong stand. I was talking to Pete one day, and he was just quiet. And I knew, because Pete's never quiet, right? I knew that perhaps something that I was saying was a little bit off track. And so when I got to that point of realizing that Pete was quiet and I took a breath, and Pete just said a couple of gentle things to me that realigned my thinking and brought me back to where I should have been. Right? We need people to do that. And we need to be humble enough to invite people to do that. And to take it on board, right? As a believer that's going to encourage other believers, I need to continually be examining myself. I need to continually be looking at my own heart. I need to continually be coming before God and being sensitive to what it is the Holy Spirit is convicting me of and dealing with those things. Hey, Phil, there's this thing in your life that's impacting your walk with God, and it's impacting your relationship with people. You need to deal with that. It's too easy for us to put our hands in the face of the Holy Spirit, per se, and go, yeah, I know that's there, but I kind of like it. It's not hurting anyone else. I like to call them pocket sins. We have this little sin that we carry around in our pocket, and it's there, and we just sort of take comfort with it. Oh, it's still there. But it's not hurting anyone else. It's not hurting me. It's just in my pocket. When we allow one sin to be part of our lives and we don't deal with it, we open the door up to everything else. Right? It's like we're just giving Satan the keys to the door and going, hey, don't use that. But we just gave him the keys. Right? Be sensitive. Have a sensitive heart and be diligent to examine yourself. Allow other people to speak into your life. Here's the last one. Still in verse 16. He says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. And then last one, continue in them. Keep going. Be consistent. Keep going. It gets hard. It gets hard to be a student all the time. It gets hard to be convicted all the time. It gets hard to teach all the time. It's hard to be an example all the time. It's hard to be a testimony all the time. Paul says to this young preacher, continue in them. Keep doing it. Keep moving forward. keep focused on what it is that God has for you. An inconsistent life contradicts the gospel. An inconsistent life contradicts who you are in Christ. An inconsistent life compromises your testimony. An inconsistent life is a stumbling block for others. So keep going. And as Paul says to Timothy in the end there, for in doing this, thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee. He's not talking about salvation as in going to heaven. He's talking about salvation as in getting off track, getting consumed by what's happening around you in the world, getting so caught up in the media that you're living in fear, getting so caught up in whatever it is, fashion, sports, whatever it is, getting so caught up in those things that I lose perspective of where I'm supposed to be, where God wants me to be, what God's purpose for me is. And we get off track and we start to wander into sin and we get consumed by our own sin. And then there has to be that breaking process to bring us back. For in doing this, thou shalt save thyself, both thyself and them that hear thee. I hope this was an encouragement for you tonight. Be a teacher of the Word of God. Hey, be deliberate in that. Teach God's Word. To do that, I need to be nourished by God's Word. That means that I've got to spend time in here. I need to grow from this. I need to develop, to mature from God's Word. And then I need to be an example to those that are in my life immediately and to those that are perhaps not so immediate. To be that example, I've got to be a student. I've got to be nourished, but then I've got to be a student. I've got to study it. I've got to spend time in it. Once I start doing that, I need to be more involved. I've got to be a part. I've got to be wholehearted. I've got to be diligent to monitor myself. And then when it gets hard, we've got to keep going. I've got to be consistent and just keep going. I don't know where you're at. It's the start of the year. But can I challenge you in these things? Hey, we got a whole year ahead of us. A whole year to have an impact. A whole year to make a difference for God. A whole year to be a testimony in somebody else's life. A whole year to study God's Word. A whole year to be a student of God's Word. Wouldn't you like to get to the end of 2026 and look back and go, wow, God has done so much with my life. I didn't deserve any of it. But it's amazing what God did with my life. Wouldn't it be sad if you look back and you went, I wasted so much time. I spent so much time on myself. Where are you? Where's your heart? Let's close in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father. Father, I know in myself it's so easy, Father, just to get caught up in the whirlwind of life. Father, the machinations of just getting up and doing the next thing and Father, getting to work and fueling up my car and getting the kids to school and all of those things. Father, it's so easy to get caught up in that and Father, just lose track of what you would have for me to do. Father, I pray for us as a church this year. I pray for my friends here tonight. Father, that we would be focused as we see Paul challenges Timothy to be focused on growing and maturing and teaching and developing into people that, Father, live out the purpose that you have for our lives, and Father, glorify you with our lives. Father, I pray that you would continually remind us this year of who we are in Christ, and Father, what you desire to do in our lives. Father, we're grateful that we could be here tonight. I'm grateful for your word, Father, for its cutting, but also its gentle teaching. Father, I pray that we would not neglect that this year. Father, we love you. We know that you love us. You deserve all the glory and all the honor. In your name, amen.